We're going to be talking today about the power of joy. This is part two. Last week we talked about, you know, the scripture in James where we're supposed to consider it or count it all joy, and has a lot of information in there what God is wanting us to learn when we go through problems. And everybody has problems, right? If you don't have problems and you're hiding in the house somewhere, you know, and even that's going to have a problem every now and then. But joy is a spiritual force that the devil hates. And what I see is that's why he's consumed so much with trying to steal our joy out of life that we have. And as we go through life and we're, you know, making our way through, you know, we should be searching for joy instead of just happiness. And by this lack of understanding, I feel that many Christians, you know, get a little confused sometimes, and then they get discouraged because they're not happy all the time. And when we go through life thinking that we need to be happy all the time, and when we're not happy all the time, then what happens is usually we try to start finding or blaming the reason why we're not happy. And then that causes a lot of problems. Like I mentioned, last week we talked about consider it all joy or count it all joy, and how trials are an opportunity for us to grow. And we need to lean on the Word of God. As fate would have it, you know, I had a situation come up this week and I really had to consider it all joy, you know, because just what happened, and it just dawned on me, if I'm preaching this stuff, I need to do it. So I had to lean on the Word and start confessing some scriptures over the situation to try to turn it around. So God wants us to grow through our trials and not just go through them, because there is a difference. A lot of people will go through a trial. We looked at, and like I said, I used the illustration in my marriage, early in our marriage, when we didn't see eye to eye all the time. You know, sometimes I knew that it would just pass after a while, just kind of keep my mouth shut or whatever the case is. But then I got to learning that God wants me to grow through our problems, our difficulties that we have. So I started to lean on the Word of God. And we also got to see last week that joy is an attitude that we need to have when we face problems. And we're going to look at that today. Where does joy come from? Scripture I want to start with. We're going to look at several scriptures today. So I hope you're writing them down. Look them up later and kind of mark them up in your Bible. Psalms chapter 16. Verse 11, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You will make known to me the path of life." Then it says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we thank you for the force of joy that is operating in each of our lives, Lord. We thank you right now. I just pray for breakthrough in the face of trials and oppositions and things that come against us that try to pull us back or destroy us, Lord. I just thank you for breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, reveal to us the things that you want us to know. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to see today first, where does joy come from? You know, as we looked at last week, and I want to recap and kind of hit it from a little different angle, is there's a difference between joy and happiness. And we need to understand what that difference is, because if we don't really understand it, we're never really going to grow up in the things of God. And anything that the Lord's laid on my heart recently is the fact how God is looking for his people to grow up. You know, we're going through this pandemic thing. It's been going on a long time. And a lot of people, you know, some are untouched. And a lot of things maybe haven't changed in their life. Other people, things have been going on. They've really been going through some hard things. Some people are in fear, you know, and all these things about that. You know, but we need to, in this, as we apply the Word of God, then we're going to grow through this trial, through this problem. And we need to do it. So the thing that we need to do is that we need to get to the place in our life where you and I make faith-based decisions instead of emotional-based decisions. Because most of our decisions that you and I make, we go by feelings. And feelings will lie to us from time to time. You know, look at the, you know, people who have maybe, you know, lost their marriage for whatever reason. You know, I stand up here and I do weddings and, you know, I hear them say how much they love each other. And then not long after, they don't love each other anymore. It was a feeling. Feelings come, feelings go, but the Word of God stands forever. So that's why we need to get to the place, I'm not saying we're robots, but we need to get to the place where we don't allow our feelings to dominate our decisions. And if we can get to that place, then I think we're going to start to walk in victory a little bit better. See, happiness fluctuates while joy is steady, because joy, we're going to look at how it comes from the Lord, it says here. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. Joy is an emotion. I know that. And we feel joyful from time to time. I mean, sometimes when we get to praising God here, I just think, wow, man, we're just, boom, awesome. The joy of the Lord is in this place. And we need that operate in our life. And it's not just for in here, but it's really for out there. So like I said, happiness fluctuates. And what happens, like I said, is when we confuse joy with happiness, and then we get into trouble, because happiness is something that we get from the world, right? We get happy. It makes us happy maybe to have a lot of money in the bank, or makes us happy to have a lot of friends, or maybe have a nice house or a nice car. But the Bible also says that the world hates you because you're a Christian. So we can't depend on the world to make us happy all the time. Some of you were happy when the stock market was high. Oh, my IRA, my 401k. I have so much money for retirement. Then boom, it drops. I'm not happy no more. Why? All my money's gone. But see, if we only allow those things to dominate our life, then we're gonna fall victim to a lot of different things. You know, happiness, like I said, is emotion, and it changes like the weather, and it does happen, and it's only momentary, while joy is eternal. And we need to learn how to, as a Christian, to flow with that, because, you know, whenever there's a problem, joy runs in while happiness runs out. And the fact that joy is a spiritual force that can affect our emotions, but it's not dependent on them, like I said earlier. You know, we can have joy and you feel it. You know, I love it when I'm, you know, really flowing in the things of God, and I'm sure you are too. You know, when your prayer life is wow. And maybe you're worshiping God and you just feel His presence. And you're just on a spiritual roll and everything's going good. And, you know, the blessings of God, you look back and they're just chasing you down. And they're part of your life. Who wouldn't be joyful in that? But then sometimes, you know, boom, things just don't go according to plan. No, we can't, you know, control everything around us. So then when these attacks come, you know, then we have to understand what it is that we don't allow our emotions to get up and down. And different people have different personality traits, and this is easier for some than it is others. But, you know, we need to get to the place that we understand how that works. And see, and you can write this down. One of the biggest mistakes that you and I can make is when we make an important decision based solely on our happiness. If we decide what's going to make us happy, and that's how we make every decision, we're going to get fooled from time to time. That's why God gave us a brain, you know what I mean? To kind of think things through. And that's why God, you know, made us a spirit being, so we can pray things through. And we can start to hear from God and be led by the Spirit. You know, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. For some of the things I thought I was going to go after that I thought would have been really nifty or happy. But then the Holy Spirit gave me a check. And then in the test of time, I see time and time again, God was always right. God was always right. And how we can, you know, not fall victim to that. Next scripture, it says here in John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be made full. So this is where joy comes from. It comes from Jesus. You know, you probably knew that coming in here today, so it wasn't probably a super big revelation. But we need to understand and always remember that joy comes from the Lord, Bible joy. And that's the kind of joy that you and I need to be able to overcome trials. Remember last week, he said to consider it all joy when you encounter trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. See, that's the goal, is to be able to go through that and become stronger. And the only way we can do that, happiness will not get you there, but joy will. See, Bible joy, like I said, comes from the Lord, and it stems primarily, if you want to trace it back to its roots, I think it kind of goes back to the fact of our salvation or deliverance. You know, something about the way it should make us feel is when we've come from death to life and we're walking, you know, with the Lord now. And we have that connection with God. And it just brings us great joy because it talks about people who have lost the joy of their salvation. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can lose the joy of our salvation. You know, that feeling of knowing that we pass from death to life, and that's what gets us kind of where we kind of lose touch with reality or God's reality. And as we understand our position in Christ, then we start to walk in that victory. So what I see here is the closer our relationship with Jesus, the greater our joy will be. How important it is. And see, we should be expecting that this is a byproduct of our relationship with God. Because Jesus said he wants us to be full of joy. He doesn't want us to run out of joy. Because joy is a force. It's a powerful thing that you and I can use against the devil. And that's why I wanted to bring this series to us so that we can start to grow and start to walk in this level of joy, because the Lord does not want you to have a joyless existence. And that's how life can get sometimes, can't it? In my opinion. You go to work, you wear yourself out, you come home, things maybe have, you know, car breaks down, things go wrong at home, you're maybe not getting along with your significant other, and then, you know, all these things are happening in your life, and you run ragged, and it turns into a monotony, and you get into that joyless existence where you're, all you are is just going through the motions. And that can happen for a product of years if we don't learn to look back and to see what kind of thing we're in. Because we'll continually just keep going because we know we're supposed to. We know we're supposed to plod on through. But I want to get us to see that God wants to give us joy so we can have a joyful existence. You know, he doesn't just give us enough joy to get by. He wants to give us enough joy to go on through. And as we, you know, I kid you not, just like I said this week, this kind of deal went on. And all of a sudden, man, it just, boom, it hit me. I don't know if you've ever been hit in your gut. I mean, spiritually. Not just a punch by a fist, but I mean, boom, all of a sudden something happened. And, ooh, just grieved your spirit. It hurt. That, you know, I must have let my shield down a little bit. And that arrow got through. And, oh, it just hit me. And I let it go be there for like an hour, and I got to thinking, didn't I just preach on something? You know, about how the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I got to thinking about it, so I started, you know, a couple scriptures came to mind. I just started confessing those scriptures and praying those scriptures, and then I got my wife together, and we decided to pray together, you know, and do this, and boy, it just lifted. Thank you. Gone. Just like that. No more pain. No more ickiness. And see, that was the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the power of God. That's just a practical thing that we can have going through our life as we go through this battle that we go through. You know, another thing the Bible says about where joy comes from is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law." Okay, here we see that the fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? You know, joy comes from God, okay? Holy Spirit is God the Spirit, third person of the Trinity. So you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we see that we get joy from the Lord, and here we get joy from the Spirit. You know, so it's important that we learn where that connection comes from. It's a fruit. It sets a manifestation of the Spirit that operates in our life, just like love is. You know, sometimes, you know, I believe this, and you've probably experienced yourself, when you're operating in the fruit of the Spirit of love, you can really love an unlovable person, can't you? Have you ever done that? If you haven't, you ought to try it. It's amazing. It's amazing. This person that is so unlovable, all of a sudden, God just gives you a love for them. And with that love, there's just so much power. But the same thing with joy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from Him, and that's why it's important that we understand what the Word of God says and see where these things come from so we can do it. And fruit is a byproduct of growth in the things of God. And see, Jesus told us, go bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. You know, and I don't know about you, but you know, we had some trees out at the farm, and this year the apple tree didn't have diddly on. I don't know if it got a frost or something, killed all the blossoms. But it's a fruitless tree. Now, right next to her, it's a pear tree. And it has a lot of pears on it. But nothing worse than a fruitless tree. You know, you have that tree and you're expecting a great harvest, something really going to go on there. And nothing. And see, that's what God doesn't want for you and I in our walk with Him. He wants us to bear fruit. Fruit's a blessing to us, but really fruit is really a blessing to other people around us, and that's why we need to really bear it. You know, fruit can be traced back all the way to the root. If you have a good root, you're going to have good fruit. And that's why Jesus, when He cursed that fig tree, He cursed it at the root and it died. But if you bless something at the root, it's going to thrive. It's going to start to bear fruit. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but have you ever looked inside a fruit? What's in there? You got the meat, but then you got those seeds. Those little seeds. Seeds are for the future, right? See, when you start to bear fruit in the Christian walk, there's seeds in that, and I think it's self-propagating. You're just starting to get in that flow, and then boom, just keeps going, keep going, keep going. You start to grow, and you start to bear that fruit, and you know, start to see things change. You know, most people focus on a pretty tree, you know. They like it to look good, instead of just focus on something you eat. See, I don't want to diss this. I know it'll probably make some people like, what's up with you? But I don't grow flowers. You can't eat them. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to grow something, I'm going to grow something you can eat. You know, I want to see some results from my investment. Now, I know flowers are pretty and it's all good. But one thing about trees, if you have a tree, the only way the tree really bears the best fruit is if you prune it. You know, the best apple tree doesn't look like a bonsai tree. You know, little bonsai trees where they just snip on it and try to make it all pretty and well-groomed and everything. You know, and that's what we kind of focus on. We want to look pretty. We want to look well-groomed. We want to, you know, so everybody can look on the outside of us and, ooh, they look good. Yeah. Yeah, they look so spiritual. Wow. Look at them. They look so nice. I know God's using them. Them ain't the ones that God uses. God uses the pruned ones. See, God goes in there and He whacks off stuff we don't need. Why would you want to feed something in your life that doesn't produce fruit? It robs from the fruit. See, that's why a farmer, when he goes out, he doesn't let the weeds grow with the corn or beans. That's why they kill all the weeds, because them weeds rob nutrients. And then more nutrients can go to make the fruit. And it's like that in our life. God wants to prune the non-bearing leaves or limbs out of our life, if we let Him. And then more energy can be focused on the things that really matter. And that's what He wants for you and I. It's painful pruning sometimes, you know, because nobody's perfect, right? Just ask your wife, man, if you're perfect. You know the answer you're going to get, right? You know, no, you're not perfect yet. You know, your mama may thought you were, but you're not, you know. But we need to see the idea that, you know, fruit will beget fruit, and inside them seeds are the future, and that's why we need to bear it. See, fruit can only be produced when the branch stays connected to the tree. Now, this is a key too. If you have a tree, a nice tree, and maybe somebody broke the limb, you know, you last thing you want is a bunch of kids growing, climbing up in your apple tree, right? Breaking the limbs off. Or not breaking them totally off, but have you ever saw a limb that's just fractured? It's not totally broke off, but it's broke enough. And little by little, those leaves start to wither. Because it's no longer connected to the root as where it should be. It's lost a lot of ways to get the nutrients. And see, that's what happens when you and I get disconnected. You know, I'm not saying we're losing our salvation, so don't jump to that conclusion yet. You know, but what I'm saying is when we lose that connection, with God in the sense, and we no longer are tapped into the flow because we got our nose out of joint. You know, have you ever seen a Christian with their nose out of joint? You know, we've had a few come through here. They don't stay long. You know, I try to get them healed up and send them back where they came from. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because they got issues. And I don't want them bringing that issues into this flock. You know, I help, if I know God sent them here, I'll help. You know, I'll try to keep them. But for the most part, I try to fix them up and send them back, you know, where God wants them. I believe God places people in bodies, and a lot of people haven't obeyed that, and they need to. Next scripture I want to get at before I get in trouble is John chapter 16, verse 22, okay? It says here that, therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. Then it says, and no one will take your joy away from you. Did you know that no one can steal your joy? Well, that's what it says right here. So what happened? What happens? If nobody can steal our joy, where is my joy? Where did it go? That's a good question. That's for next week. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to go to it right now. What happens is that our joy, in my opinion, doesn't really leave us. It diminishes. Because like that branch, it kind of loses good connection. And a lot of times, you know, I've watched people, you know, I've been a Christian for 35 years, roughly, and I've watched a lot of people because I like to learn things. You know, I'd rather see them get, you know, go through a bad problem and I learn from them than me have to go through it. You know what I'm saying? So if I pay attention, you know, I can learn a lot of things from other people. And so I've watched them, and as they go through things, and I've watched just how sometimes it's usually when we lose our focus, when we break our concentration, when we're not really focusing on the Lord, and we take our eyes off God and we put them on ourselves. You know what I mean? Have you ever put your eyes on yourself? You get in that pity party deal and you get these problems, poor me and all this stuff. And then what happens is that our joy diminishes. It's still in there because the Holy Spirit's still in you. So you still have the potential to manifest that fruit, just you got to try to get it back. See, sometimes what happens is that you and I let outside influences influence us instead of letting inside influences influence us. Well, that's a lot of influence, ain't it? What I'm talking about is that we let the world influence us instead of the Holy Ghost who already lives inside of us. So we need to let Him influence us, be the one that influences us instead of us believing. You know, have you ever maybe misunderstood a situation? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had? I have. I misread it. You know, I thought, you know, maybe somebody said something, you know, bad about me or my family, and I, you know, all of a sudden you get your nose out of joint, you know, or something. You know, primarily how I look at it, you can mess with me, but don't mess with my wife or my kids, you know. It's a guy thing, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I misread it. I misunderstood it. And see, it's a bad thing when that happens. So that's why we need to make sure that we take a step back and let the Holy Spirit try to be the buffer and straighten some of this mess out in our life. Because, see, the devil can steal our happiness, but he can't steal our joy. And we need to remember that. The devil can never take your joy unless you let him. Unless you let him. He doesn't have the power to take your joy. He's powerless. Jesus defeated him at the cross. The only power the devil gets is the power that we give him. And we need to take that power back. So we can't let him steal our joy. See, in the face of difficult circumstances, you and I need to choose joy, no matter what. Whenever things are going wrong, just think of Pastor Brad booming in your ears, choose joy. Choose joy. Where do you get the joy? It ain't going to come from you. But God is always with you. We need to remember that. God said that, Jesus said that He will never leave us or forsake us. So even in the trial, He's with us. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what problem you have going on in your life, He is with you. He wants to bring you through. So choose joy. Just pray, God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank you, Lord, for that joy, that no matter what the situation is, I'm going to overcome this and I'm going to grow through this and I'm going to learn from you, Lord. And just pray that. How long do you pray that? Till you see it change. That's what you got to do. I mean, we live in a generation where we just think everything's so easy. I mean, back in the day, you had to grow your food or raise it, and then you picked it and planted it, and then you put it or picked it, and then you put it in a place, and then you had to, you know, ration it out. That's all you had for the year. Went another year till you got another harvest. Now we just run the store, get whatever we want. So we think everything's fast and easy. It's not. The best things of God, sometimes we have to grow into them to get where he wants us. And it's going to take a little time. And it's going to take, you know, some hunger on our part so that we can get there. So it all boils down to our level of trusting God and how important it is. You know, are we willing to relinquish control of our lives to the Lord? And I'll be honest, I've been saved for over 35 years, and I'm still learning this. Every year, I learn to trust God more. Just when I thought I had it all covered. And then I find out I'm not really trusting him in this area. So then, pick myself up, dust myself off, repent. I say, God, help me to get to that next level. The next level where you want me. Because the higher the level I am, the more dangerous I am to the devil. And I want to be dangerous. Amen. I want to be really dangerous. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. And it's important that I understand that. All we need to do is walk in obedience, you know. It's obedience is not a burden, but it's a byproduct of our faith. See, a lot of people don't like being told what to do. But I like it when God tells me what to do because I believe he knows best. You know, and I believe I need to get to that place. You know, an illustration of this is the Corinthian church. You know, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 and 2, and this is talking about money. Don't want to make anybody nervous, but get to talking about money in church, you know. Sometimes people get a little nervous and they tape up their checkbook. But it says, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches in Macedonia." Okay? Everybody loves grace. Amen? We all love grace. Okay? Then it says, "That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in wealth of their liberality." So, Paul was bragging on his church here, just like I brag on you sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. No, just kidding. Come on, you guys need to lighten up today. Okay? So these people were poor. They were going through a very difficult time in their own life, but they heard about somebody else who had a bigger problem than they did. And you know what they did? They shared what they had. They took joy in the Lord and chose to give, and it turned their situation around. Paul mentioned here how spiritual they were, on how important it was. See, like I said, I've been saved for 35 years, and I've observed in that time of walking with the Lord that giving people are the most joyful people. And you can take that to the bank. The ones who are freed up and are giving, no matter, could be a little, could be a lot, doesn't matter how much, not talking about numbers here, but I'm talking about the process of being willing to give. Those people are joyful because the devil can't put them in fear. They just love to give. And it's a powerful force. Last scripture I want to look at today is kind of one I wanted to get to here in a roundabout way. Nehemiah 8:10 should be highlighted in your Bible. If it ain't, highlight it today. It says, "Then he said to them, go eat of the fat of the land," or eat the fat. I just came off a keto deal. Ate a lot of fat, you know what I'm saying? So that really witnessed with me. But he says, "Go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Then it says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay. How many need more power today? There's power in joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, these people here were, I'm going to explain the whole story a little bit, but the people here were grieved because Israel had walked away from God. They didn't know hardly anything about him. And all of a sudden, with Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra was reading from the book of the law, and then when everybody heard what he was saying, they just felt terrible. You know, and that happens sometimes, especially when you're starting out in Jesus, you know. You just read about some stuff that Jesus, you know, kind of frowns on, you know, and then you find out, well, I'm doing that. You know, I don't want to, but I'm ashamed that I did it, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, he, by the blood, washes that shame away and all that stuff, you know. But primarily, these people didn't feel good. And Nehemiah watched them. They were probably a little down and pouty a little bit. And he said, hey, quit being like that. Don't be grieving today. Today's a great day because the joy of the Lord is your strength. No matter how down you feel, we need to see that the power in joy, because Nehemiah wanted to turn things around. See, the people were focused on how much we missed it. And I believe that's probably many of our personalities sometimes. You know, we're going through life and things are happening, and then maybe we make a mistake. We might do 10 things right, but you do one thing wrong. What do you focus on? You focus on that one thing you did wrong. Or maybe it's two. And so what happens then, it drags you down. God says, don't worry about that. Repent, go on. Get up, dust yourself off. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Start focusing on other things. So Nehemiah said to focus on God and not your problems, because that's where your strength comes from. You know, we need to focus on God. We'll never change if we try to fix ourselves or if we try to, you know, focus on everything that's wrong with us. We got to look to the Word of God and let that joy see that, well, Jesus says, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And I just got mad at a friend. Well, did it change? No. God still sees you positioned in that place. He wants you to grow into that position. He wants you to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What we need to do is stop focusing on how broken we are and start to focus on how fixed we are. That's the only way we're going to change. That's the only way. See, joy is a positive spiritual force that overcomes the negative world that we live in. Because if we don't choose to operate in joy, the world is going to drag us down. It's going to hold us back, and we're going to miss it. Everybody knows Debbie Downer, right? You know, we need to rewire our brain to start seeing the goodness of God instead of the destruction of the enemy. We need to start rewiring it because, you know, without going into too much scientific stuff, because I'm not that scientific all the time, but, you know, it says the neural pathways in our mind, if we start thinking on things certain ways, it'll start going that way real quick. So we need to, you know, ask God, hey, change my mind here, God. Help me to see things in a different way. Help me to see your goodness. You know, instead of being overwhelmed all the time, we need to start to overcome and start to walk in victory. And how this happened, the practical application is Nehemiah. What he was is he was a captive. Now, I don't know what you, but Israel had been taken captive, and they hauled a bunch of them. They left some poor people back, but they hauled a bunch of them over to a new land, okay? Well, Nehemiah must be pretty good guy. He got a good job. He was like the cupbearer, I think, for the king. And then he heard that Israel's walls had been torn down. And it just grieved him. And then he asked God, God, I want to do something about this. And maybe God's touched your heart, that you see a problem that needs to be fixed. And God, I want you to use me to turn this situation around. And so he laid it on the wall and then to fix the wall. And, you know, the work alone, fixing the wall, would have been overwhelming just to do the work. But then when he went there and he had some helpers, the devil came in and they started to accuse them and lie to them and wanted to attack them so that they couldn't work with both hands. Some of them had to, it even says kind of one of them had to hold a weapon and while they worked and stuff. It was just terrible. And the attack that come against them. And maybe you feel like you're attacked in life. It just seems like, you know, just seems like all the time something's getting you. And the people wanted to quit because they were afraid. And that happens. But instead of saying that we can't, he said, we can. And that's what we need to see. So what's our plan when we deal with these tribulations? Do we want to take back what the devil has stolen out of our life? Are we going to let him keep it? Or are we going to take it back? You know, that's up to us. Are we sick of settling for the natural when we could be living in the supernatural? Valid question. You know, we settle for things instead of wanting to see the miraculous. You know, we need to look for the goodness of God in our life and know that there's strength in that joy. See, joy comes from Jesus and no one can steal it. And to me, it's a powerful testimony when after the devil throws everything he has at you and we still walk in joy. That's a testimony. So closing, Bible joy is not something that you and I can manufacture, but it's something that only comes from the Lord. And we need to stop trying to find it in the world. But the world is always changing, but Jesus said he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's where we get our joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need to tap into that to be able to overcome. Let's pray.